So we're going to look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2, starting from verse 5, if you're there with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, it says, "But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent, not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So that, on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote, that I might put you to the test, whether you are obedient in all things. Now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes, in the presence of Christ." Verse 11 says, "Lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we ask, can you please do that holy heart work, Lord? Do that heart surgery that you know that we need, God. All of us need that. Thank you for salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. And you want us not to just be recipients of your grace and forgiveness, but also to be conduits, that we would forgive others. But God, we need your help. You command us to do these things. You tell us why. We'll look at today. But God, we still need your grace. We need your help. Help us, Lord, for we ask and pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You guys could have a seat if you would. So at this time, I'm going to ask Brother Jose if he would come up. Do you want to get the mic? Brother Jose is going to share a little bit about his testimony here.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm going to share Isaiah 43:18. "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." I come back to this verse because the scene was in Colombia when I was a child. I was playing with my brother outside in front of our house, soccer, and all of a sudden when I noticed two limousines came in front of the house, right? And they came out with machine guns. These men were dangerous people. We ran inside the house. My brother and I ran inside the house to notify my mother. But my mother was taking a shower. Before I know, I turned around. One of the men carried my brother and held them at gunpoint. And my little sister, for some reason, disappeared after that. So we was on a run, my mother, my brother and I, we was in a run. We ended up in a house. This house was dark. I remember whoever it was not clear to me. I know somebody was putting their hand on my mouth. Anytime they heard a noise, they thought they were there to kill us. But my brother's, my father's, men, it was two of them outside taking care of us. That's one of the reasons why we came to New York City. When I came to New York City, I had a lot of bitterness, a lot of hatred. I joined gangs. I got involved in drugs. I started smoking at an early age, 11 years old. I started smoking cigarettes. My life was destroyed. Until 2005, that's when the Lord used somebody mightily that I found Jesus Christ. When I found Jesus Christ, it was so awesome. It was the most beautiful thing in the world, you know. But in the meantime, I'm carrying this bitterness, and I never handed my burdens to the Lord. That's one of the things I remember as I was walking. I already knew Jesus Christ, but my burdens I never handed to him until I finally decided that I need to forgive. I forgave the my best friend that came into when I was at home. He came shooting at my door looking for my cousin. I forgave him. I had to forgive so many people in my life. Everything that I went through, I had to forgive, and I'm still forgiving. The best thing I suggest for all of you is whoever hurt you in your life, give them a call. That's the best thing to do. Give them a call. Speak to them. Tell them, "I forgive you," or "you, I forgive you." It's easy. It doesn't matter, you know. one day this is all going to end. It's going to end. So how God helped me to forgive? I started confession to him. I started asking him to help me, to forgive me what I've done, everything I've done in this world, my sins. So that's how I was able to know his grace. I was able to know his mercy and his love, the most important, his love. What God did in my heart after I forgave, I felt restored. My relation with him is better now. I have more peace in my heart. More peace. The peace that I will never understand. It's a peace that I can't even explain it. That's how sweet it is. It's like, he loves me. I know he loves me. That's why. What did God did in my heart after I forgave? Don't let anger overtake you. Go to God, straight to the cross. He's the only one that could help you and nobody else. Because I tried to fight for many years. And my walk with God was always destroyed because I never forgave. And I'm still forgiving people that hurt me. Amen.
Thank you, Jose. Please continue to pray for him. I've known Jose for a long time, and God's really doing an amazing work by heart healing. Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. Amen? You'll find that in Isaiah 61, verse 1. Many times we hear of Jesus, we watch the Jesus movies, and we know that he could heal physical things, right? He could heal people of blindness. He can cleanse lepers. But can he heal your heart? I believe he's going to do some heart surgery today. Amen. All right. So one of the things we're going to do today is I want you to consider the people that you need to forgive right now. Some of you guys have gone through the thing that we call the 8-day growing and healing challenge. We'll have people, we'll tell them up front, start making a list of the people that you need to forgive. Because the Holy Spirit's going to do some heart surgery today. God willing. And there's always going to be people that you think, oh, I want to forgive her, but not that guy, not that girl. You don't know what they did to me. And they may be sitting in here too, but you need to just give it up to God. Okay, like our brother Jose did. If God could use him to forgive people that murdered his relatives, think about that. Can God use you to forgive others too? Usually the people that hurt us, it may be one sin. And Jesus forgave us tens of thousands of sins, right? And he expects us. He commands us. Can you forgive that one person, that one sin? So think about that and make a list. Because today, God willing, we'll do some heart healing and heart surgery. And we'll have a time to pray for you at the end. So today we're going to look at, I'm going to call this 10 reasons why we should forgive. 10. Don't worry, we're not going to go slow through this. God willing, we'll go through a little quickly. But 10 reasons. First of all, I want to read to you here what it says on the slide here. Forgiveness. Why should we forgive? Why should you forgive? Because forgiveness was given to you. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Have you ever thought some of the cleansing of unrighteousness is that you won't forgive? Does Jesus want to heal you and help you so that you can not just receive forgiveness, but give forgiveness? That's unrighteousness. That's actually sin. So sometimes some of us, until you hear of the sin of unforgiveness, you just think, oh, it's not sin. It is sin. And it hurts that person's relationship with God. Ephesians 1 verse 7 also says, in him, so in the Lord, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Think of that, the riches of his grace. That's hard to say without smiling. The riches of his grace. So the grace of God that he has for you is for you, but also through you. That's how much grace he wants to give you, to overflow, to fill you to overflowing. As you might say, my cup runneth over. It's the living water. His Holy Spirit poured upon you, into you, and through you. And you know when that person you need to forgive, when they come around, you're smiling, Lord, I lift your name on high. You see that person, ugh! But not for that person. Your grace is sufficient for me, but not for he or she. God wants to forgive that person too. And it could be that you, being the forgiven person, that God wants to use you to prove to the person that you need to forgive, that God exists, and that they can also see the grace of God. And the grace of God is tangible, will be palpable through you. So why should you forgive? Grace was given through forgiveness to you. So God forgave us, and so you and I must be forgiving one another. If you want some other passages to look at, you could also write this down if you're taking notes. Ephesians 4, verse 32. Ephesians 4, verse 32. And Colossians 3, verse 13. Colossians 3, verse 13. You need to forgive even as God in Christ forgave you. So, grace was given to you in the form of forgiveness. Why should you forgive? Because forgiveness was given to us, but also forgiveness is commanded by God. Did you know that God commands you to forgive? A lot of us don't think of that. Again, the Our Father prayer, right? Who remembers that prayer? Okay, any ex-Catholics here? Okay. You remember that prayer. You say it routine, even like you're half awake. You don't know what you're saying, but you could repeat it, right? So forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, right? So you're asking God to forgive you just like you forgive others. In other words, if you don't forgive, you're telling God, God, I don't forgive, so don't forgive me. That's actually there in the Our Father prayer, the Lord's Prayer. And we got to think about what we're saying. So forgiveness is commanded by God. So here's what he says in Matthew. Matthew 6, verse 14. This is right after the Our Father prayer. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Do you want to be forgiven? Who here wants forgiveness? Okay. Do you know that God expects you then to be a forgiver? Okay. So don't just be like a bowl to receive God's love, grace, mercy, like water, living water pouring out. Be more like the receptacle, more like a faucet. Okay. That it goes through you. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 7, like we read in the opening. This is, again, we're going through a mini-series here, we might say, on forgiveness. He says, Paul writes to this church at Corinth, so that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. So in 1 Corinthians, there was a guy who was actually having a sexually immoral relationship with his dad's wife, like his stepmom. Ew. Can you say ew? Ew. Right? And so they confronted the guy. They kicked him out, disfellowshipped him. But what do you do after someone's confessed, repented? Oftentimes, we don't learn what to do we? You just grow up and grow old. So, praise God. In this chapter, we'll look at this. Come next week, God willing, we'll look at what do we do after we forgive? How do you reconcile? God actually tells you little details in here. Beautiful. So God's using the Apostle Paul to tell the church at Corinth in this second book that this person in the first book, hey, this guy, he's already repented. Bring him back into the fellowship. Look at this. It says, you got to forgive and comfort him. So if you feel like, well, I just didn't know what to do. Well, now you know. Just like the church at Corinth, just like the Christians. They had to be told what to do. Because again, in society, you're not going to learn how to reconcile. Oftentimes, even as we raise our kids, now go say sorry. Anybody teach their kids that? Or you been taught that? Go say sorry. Uh-uh. 5 seconds later, you get some cookies if you do. Okay. Or whatever it is. But you go and say sorry. But what do you do after that? See, in your family, it's already kind of there. You can reconcile. Ah, I got to live with you. You got to live with me. Okay, let's make up, right? But what do you do with friends or external family? Okay, or what's coming up now that it's November? What's at the end of this month? Thanksgiving. And all of a sudden your blood pressure goes up, right? I'm going to be there with that weird relative. Got some news for you. You might be that weird relative, okay? And the other person's like, oh, they don't forgive me. Well, get prepared, get equipped now so that you could be a conduit of God's love, grace, and mercy in just a couple weeks from now and through this season. Okay, reportedly in the world, there's a lot more pressure around this time of year. Anybody know that? A lot more depression, suicide, bad thoughts. Why? A lot of it is because people don't know how to get along with people. Okay? And that was me. Was that any of you guys? Okay, we got a couple people. Okay, a couple honest people. That's all of us, right? That's kind of all of us. That's why we know that we just need to take God's word and apply it. So look at this. Forgiveness is commanded by God. You could read this in Mark 11 later on. This is like over and over throughout the Bible. Again, Ephesians 4 verse 32. You're commanded by God to forgive. Colossians 3 verse 13. Judge not. Luke chapter 6 verse 37. Judge not and you shall not be judged. Condemn not and you shall not be condemned. Forgive and you will be. See, listen, oh, that's beautiful. You guys know this, right? Forgive and you will be. That's so beautiful. You guys memorize that. Have you ever applied that, though? Right? So we could kind of chuckle about that, right? It's like the Our Father prayer. I could repeat that blind and, you know, half awake, half asleep, half awake. But we got to think about what God's word actually says. So forgiveness is commanded, is not suggested. Now, why do you say that? Because if God says, I got a suggestion for you. You know, when you guys hurt each other, if you feel like it, maybe you should just forgive. Now, what's going to happen if God gives you a suggestion like that, but not a commandment? Are you going to forgive? I don't feel like it, right? You're never going to feel like it, and don't obey your feelings. That's the flesh. Okay? Your flesh, your will, your desire is at enmity with the Spirit of God. They're like two bulls or two mature male sheep crashing. They're fighting against each other. Don't go by your feelings. Go by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. So that's second. So why should you and I forgive? Because forgiveness was given to us. Because forgiveness is commanded by God. And number three here, forgiveness is mandatory for followers of Jesus. Look at what Peter said and what Jesus responded with. You guys know this, right? The 70 times 7. By the way, how much is 70 times 7? 490. Okay. Okay, some of you guys are quiet. Like, who here loves math? Couple of people, like Kimmy loves math. Wait, what? Who here likes math? Some. Some. Okay, 490. Now again, this does not mean that you take out your calculator. All right, honey, 479. You are pushing it. Now, Jesus said 490. He didn't say 491. No. The thought is it's a ludicrous amount compared to how much God forgave you through Jesus Christ. Think of all the tens of thousands of sins. I'm not saying to conjure it up, but think of how much he forgave you. And now think of the one person that had one sin against you. Or that's a lot. Five, okay? Whatever they are, because you cannot pay for sin. Think of the tens of thousands of sins that Jesus and his sacrifice paid for your sins. And now God washes it away clean. Can you forgive that one person, the two people, the five people that sinned five times against you or whatever it is? You need to. Not just 70 times 7. It's a ridiculous amount. So forgiveness is mandatory if you want to be a follower of Jesus, just like it was for Peter. It's like, no, that's Peter for me. It's different. No, it's not. You also have been forgiven. And by the way, we have the Gospels. And you read the four Gospels, which are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You learn a lot about Peter stumbling and bumbling. Just about everything he said and did was a picture of the flesh, kind of sinful. And Jesus also forgave him. So number four, why should you forgive? Why should we forgive? It also preaches the gospel. When you forgive, it preaches the gospel through your life. Jesus was hanging on a cross, and this is what he said in Luke 23, verse 34. Father, forgive them, for they what? They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. Guess who Jesus was thinking about? Oh, those dirty, rotten Roman soldiers and the Pharisees and Sadducees. No, he was also thinking of you and me. Think about that. Let that kind of, I don't know, thud your heart. Like, oh, I didn't know what I was doing when I sinned. I didn't know that my sin murdered Jesus, caused him to die on a cross. And think about that. He's holy, pure, perfect, never even done one sin. Born sin-free, lived without sin. Did he deserve to die? No. So imagine him on the cross dying for your sins, because your sins murdered him. Now imagine that person has sinned against you, one thing. It's like, you stole that dollar. You stole that 5 cents. It's the principle that matters. I have to think of that. Some of us guys, any of you guys like that? It's the principle that matters. I'm kind of like that. If you're analytical, you live and die for principle, right? It's like, what about the principle of my sins murder Jesus? Okay, like, oh, if he forgave me and he didn't deserve it, can I forgive? Can you forgive that one person? You need to. You must. So do know that when you forgive others, it displays Jesus to the world. So all y'all with your friends and family, school, coworkers, neighbors, people like, God doesn't exist. I tried church. I tried Jesus. No, you didn't. It was fake. I was like that. And now when you come to true salvation through Jesus Christ, you realize he was murdered for my sins. I realize then that I need to also be like him. And forgiveness is displayed to the world. So those people that say God doesn't exist. Any of you guys know people like that? Raise your hand. You know people like that. You're probably going to be around them soon, right? Maybe you go home. You're going to be around them or your neighbors or your coworkers. Have you ever thought that God would use you to display the gospel? Not by your preaching, not your words, by your walk. Some of us, I'd rather quote the Bible than walk out the Bible. But the people around you, they want to see that God is real through your life. Not just hear you say, you got to go to church, or you got to read your Bible, or you need Jesus. You have to show them. God wants to put you on display. That the gospel, the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, can be shown through you. Will you allow God to preach the gospel through your walk, not just your talk, not just your words? Because your walk preaches way louder. Your walk is way louder than your talk. Anybody know that? Okay, I know that because I was checking out choices of people that said they were a Christian when I was growing up. I saw a lot of fake. And I wasn't even saved. So imagine that. Now that you're saved, you realize your eyes are open. They're also checking out your choices, aren't they? So you're telling them, you need forgiveness for all your sins. You don't know what I've done, and Jesus is going to forgive me for all the sins I've ever done. Then all of a sudden, they do one little thing to hurt you, and all of a sudden, you just pounce on them. Forgiveness is for me, but not for you. That's what you'd be preaching to them. And so the gospel is preached through our lives. For those who wish to preach the gospel, you must forgive people. Do any of you guys want to be preachers, teachers? You want to be able to share scripture? Who's that? There's a bunch of y'all here. Technically, usually it's like half of us at least. Well, then you know what God's going to do? He's going to give you opportunities. He's going to give you those pesky people that get under your skin. And you're like, God, use my life. I want to be a preacher. He's like, okay, I'm going to send you problem people. No, you didn't hear me, God. I want to be a preacher. And he says, yes, I want you to display the gospel. No, I want to preach. I want to speak. I want to tell them what to do. That's our problem sometimes, is people want to see the gospel, not just hear it. Any of you guys know what I'm talking about? You want to see real, right? And that's many of you guys. Praise God. So then our words and our walk need to not be at odds with each other. The walk and the talk need to be with each other. And that's where the preaching to herald the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ, that's when the walk and the talk, they're together. That's very powerful. That's what you see throughout the Bible when God used people. Imagine if John the Baptist were to come in. You think, wow, this guy's got a dirty robe, kind of, smelly. He's got these, locust wings sticking out of his teeth and all that. Like, ooh, you'd probably avoid that person, right? Let's get real. I'm going to be like that Pharisee that went across the street and walk on the other side. Sometimes you might think of that. But he was the epitome of what his message was. So sometimes it's like that. And what God will use you, it's not just the message that you speak, it's also the way that you walk. Because people check out your choices. Okay, who here did that before you came to Christ? Any of you guys? I was like that. I was really totally like that. And I would call people on that. I used to be really rough in the world. I'd look at Christians and they would tell me things. I'd be like, okay, show me in your Bible. And I just developed this thought that, you know, a lot of Christians, they don't know the Bible. They'll tell me, but they can't show me. And I was in search of really truth. I didn't know that. All right, so it preaches the gospel through your life when you forgive. To be unforgiving is to live in bondage. You don't want to live like that. You're going to be following your fear instead of having faith. And you guys know that. That when you forgive, when you simply say, I'm sorry, or I forgive you, there's a release, isn't there? Any of you guys know that? Do you know who actually is convicting all the hearts in the world, even if they don't know God? It's so much so that this principle exists, even in the world, that psychologists and sociologists, they'll say, you need to forgive. Forgive them for you, not for them. And there's a release. Why is that? It's because God Almighty, who writes these things in the Word, who created every human being, he's convicting the hearts. Isn't that the work of the Holy Spirit? He's going to convict us of what? Sin. You need to forgive, because unforgiveness is sin. Sin. Righteousness. Look at the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Do righteous good works. And judgment. He's going to keep you accountable. So when you obey God and stop saying no to God, even people in the world, God's using that to preach to them, to show that he's real, his word is real, and his conviction of the heart is still exists. That's why even if someone doesn't know God, they even know that in humanity, when you simply say, I'm sorry, or I forgive you, can you forgive me? There's a release. It's like a 500-pound backpack, this weight's lifted off your shoulder. And then all of a sudden, I could breathe more easily. Is that any of you? Have you ever felt that? That's the work of God's Spirit. Please know that. He's wanting to try to reach you because in our fallen humanity, we want to embrace these things of the devil. But not so. He wants you to follow the ways of Jesus Christ. So when you forgive, bitterness breaks down. God's Spirit will start to heal your heart as well as the other person. You and I need to know this. So number five here, when you forgive, it's going to free you and I spiritually and emotionally. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. Listen to what it says there. Lest perhaps such a one, this is the man that was sleeping with his stepmom. Gross, right? Ew. Such a one be swallowed up with too much sorrow. With too much sorrow. So what happens when you don't forgive? There's a lot of sorrow that can happen. That's swallowed up. It speaks of being drowned. Has anybody here ever like almost drowned? Like you're in a swimming pool. You know that feeling like, oh, I can't get my breath of air. Or maybe you even go to the beach and this big wave hits you. And you're like, whoa. And then the second wave comes and bam. Swallowed up. Like you're drowning. You're overwhelmed. Sorrow, this word speaks of a heaviness or a pain. And some of you know this is what you're doing when you don't forgive. Come on. Any of you know that that's what you're doing when you won't forgive the person? This happens with couples. You got to quickly forgive. Right? You know that if I forgive them, I'm letting them off the hook. I like them, you know, being swallowed up with the sorrow. And can any of you guys confess that? That's sin. And so we know what we're doing to that person. Now you have scriptural proof of what actually happens. So when you release, again, forgive. When you give grace, giving it freely, you're releasing that person. Unforgiveness will chain you to the past, and it keeps you in bondage as well as them. So we need to forgive. That's number five. Why? It's going to free you as well as them emotionally and spiritually. Number six, forgiveness is a sign of spiritual maturity. Look at this in 2 Corinthians 2, verse 9. For to this end I also wrote that you might put that I might put you to the test whether you are obedient in all things. Did you ever think that God tests you whether or not you're going to forgive? Now you know. It's like, wait a second. Are you saying God's testing me? Yes. It's That's what it's saying here. He's waiting for you and I to obey him. So by forgiving others, you and I can mature to be more like Jesus. But if you don't, you're not going to grow. You're not going to mature. You're actually following Satan. And like he says in verse 11 of this chapter, you don't want to be ignorant of his devices. Going on, number 7, here's what he says. By forgiving, you and I give freely of God's grace. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 7 again. Why should you forgive? It teaches us about God's grace. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him. So remember when we looked at that word forgive, it speaks of giving freely. You've received God's grace freely, haven't you? You don't pay for grace. If you pay for grace, it's no longer grace. And sometimes when someone wrongs you, you're like, I'm going to make them pay for it. Anybody else like that? Come on, you guys can't admit it. Some of you guys see the hand shaking. So you need to simply give freely of God's grace. Don't put them through pains. So what's God trying to do here? He's trying to teach you and I to grow in his grace. What Peter wrote, the last verse he contributed, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about this, Christian. Think about this in the Bible. Think about this in practical reality in life. How can you and I grow in grace? Who here wants to receive God's grace? Who wants to grow in God's grace? Hold your hand up. You want to grow in God's grace. Look around the room. Hold your hands up. You want to grow in God's grace. You want to grow in God's grace. So look around the room. So here's how you're going to grow in God's grace. God's going to give you a situation where you have to give that person grace. And now the hands go down, right? I'm going to get problem people. I'm not asking for problem people. And then the Lord might speak to your heart like it does to mine. Like, oh, you were that problem person. Oh, I'm sorry. So that's how you're going to grow in grace. You need to learn how to give out grace. It's God's grace you need to give out, though. So God's going to teach you about God's grace as you forgive. If you forgive. If you don't forgive, you're not going to grow in his grace. You're actually going to backslide. Your heart's going to get hard. You stop hearing from God. Your prayers won't get answered. A lot of stuff gets killed. You get stopped. Remember, you want to be forgiven, you must forgive. It's a condition. Number 8, why should you forgive? It's going to protect you from Satan's schemes. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 11, again, even as we read and as we opened up a couple weeks ago, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. So Satan has already been taking advantage of you, of your relationships, even your relationships with one another in this room. You need to know this. How many of you want to be taken advantage of? Nobody? Nobody likes to be taken advantage of, right? So how many of you want to know you've been taken advantage of? You want to know that, right? Well, here's your proof passage. One of them, at least. And Satan's like, good. We're unmasking him again so that he doesn't take advantage of you anymore. Don't allow him to. It'll be your choice. Here's how it works. The enemy is taking advantage of us, but he can't destroy us as long as we obey God's will. If you're walking in God's will, it's like you're bulletproof, so to speak. It's one way I like to look at it and preach to myself. Because then you belong to the Heavenly Father. He's going to take care of you if you're doing his will. If you do foolish choice, you're on your own. You're still his son, his daughter. He'll still clean up the mess. But you got to walk in his will. That's why we need to read, study, and know the word of God so you'll know his will. Amen? And when you're obeying his will, it's like you're bulletproof. He can't get a hold of you. What their tactic is, though, is they're going to try to get you to be selfish again. When you weren't saved, you were selfish. And when you get saved as a Christian, we still deal with selfishness. Any of you guys know that? That's still a big, major problem for most of us. So Satan's going to try to get you to be selfish or stay selfish or get you out of being unselfish. So then you take your eyes off of Jesus and his word and his ways. And now you're just, it's all about me again. Now you're worshiping yourself. And now the enemy's got you. That's easy. And that's basically exactly how it works. By not forgiving, you're actually following Satan. Don't go there. So their tactic, simply to get you to be selfish so that you are enslaved in chains again, You have a bitter heart, a hard heart. You're no longer hearing from God. You're not obeying Him. Your prayers, might as well not pray because you're not getting answers. Your prayers answered. What He wants from you is to simply repent, come back to God's path, stop worshiping yourself because you become your own God. You become your own Lord. Even if you sing, like the song that we wrote, Here I Stand, you can sing all you want, but God's wanting your heart and your walk, not just your talk. Okay, so don't let Satan take advantage of you anymore. Why should you forgive? Number 9 here, and we're almost done. It shows that you trust God. It shows you trust God. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. So when you and I obey God's word and when we forgive, when we trust God, we have faith in Him, we're showing the world that you actually have faith, that you actually can trust God, that He's the one that's going to take vengeance, not you. Not you. And some of us, that's our problem, right? You can be love, joy, peace, smiley. Someone cuts you off. Someone does the wrong thing, says the wrong thing. And all of a sudden, rawr, like Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, right? Some of us can be like that, like just really quickly. I still have that issue sometimes that comes up. My wife, my family can tell you, and I have to repent. All you got to do is get married or spend time with someone. Any other human being. Could be someone else in this room, someone else on the planet. Spend enough time with another human being, you're going to start to get annoyed, aren't you? Yes, you guys. It happens. Why? Instead of celebrating our differences and our creativity that God has given you and I in Christ, because there's no two alike, just like your fingerprint. Look at your fingerprint. Does anybody else have that? No. So there's no two of us that are alike. You're unique. Celebrate your differences. That's how creative and unique God is. He created you that way. We need to celebrate these things. But if you spend enough time with someone else, anybody on the planet, you're going to go, you're not like me. And God wants you to celebrate, not just complain. All right, last but not least, when you forgive, it taps into God's supernatural strength. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you know that God's going to get you to do what's impossible for you to do? So when God commands you to do something like forgive, because it's a heavenly principle, you need to reach out to God, get His grace, His forgiveness, and then give His grace to others. He's going to strengthen you to do His will, not your choice. This is why it's mandatory for us to read, study, know, and apply the Bible. Because then you start to realize, I am still very selfish. And you get to know God's word and His ways and His will. You realize it is completely opposite the way that our hearts want to go. Does that make sense? Okay? So we need to know that if God's going to command you to do something, He's going to strengthen you to do everything He's asking you to do. He's going to equip you, but you don't have the source, the resource. He is the source as well as the resource. You got to cry out to Him, call out to Him. And we could do that in a little bit. Can we get set up to do some worship? We're going to close with worship before we have our time to partake of communion as a church family. But here's what it says in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 8, the writer of Hebrews is quoting Jeremiah 31. There was a time in the Old Testament where God was prophesying a new testament, a new covenant to come. He says here, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none his brother, saying, know the Lord. For all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and, notice as I color-coded this, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. So think about this, guys. There was a prophecy about the New Testament, where through Jesus Christ, God would not only forgive you your sins, but He's got that uncanny ability to forget your sins. You know the passages. God's going to remove your sins as far away from you as east. Which way is east? East from the west. He's going to put your sins behind His back. Throw them in the sea of forgetfulness. These are all scriptures that prophesied and promised a new covenant to come that was only found through Jesus Christ. And now you and I live in this day and age, in this time where God has given us salvation through Jesus, giving you eternal forgiveness, but also He tells you that he'll remember your sins no more. Not remember your sins some more, but remember your sins no more, no mas. So maybe you're here today and you would like prayer. Maybe some of the things that we discussed today that you know that you need in your life, and it's only found through Jesus Christ. I'm not sure who's ringing here. Hello? Make mine double pepperoni. So anyhow, make it two. So if you want prayer, you want God's supernatural strength for your life, we want to simply pray for you. And we have some folks, like JP can come up. Jose, if you want prayer in Spanish, if you want prayer from some of the ladies, Kimmy, you can come over too when you're ready. Leticia. So a whole bunch of you could be prayed for. If you're here and you want to experience this in your life, that you would not just be a recipient of God's forgiveness, but a conduit of his grace to the world. We want to pray for you. So stop letting Satan take advantage of you and your relationships. Let God rebuild and restore your relationships. Amen? But it starts with you. You need to be a follower of Jesus, and you need to learn to forgive. Can we all stand, please? I'm going to close this with a word of prayer in general to close out this Bible study time. And then if you want prayer, you can simply come forth. You can come forth now. I'm going to pray for you. Father in heaven, thank you for today. Thank you for salvation and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. But Father, we pray that you please would help us. Help us to not just receive your forgiveness, but to be forgivers. We know that we need your supernatural strength. You say in your word, which we can take and quote back to you, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we know that your Son, our Savior, Jesus, Messiah, that he will strengthen us to do what you're asking us to do. You command us to forgive. But you are the source, you're the resource to give to us the ability, the help. And we cry out to you, Father, in the name of Jesus, your Son, our Savior. Empower us through the Helper, the Holy Spirit. We need your help. We need your grace. We need your strength. Help us to be forgivers, that we would preach the gospel, not just with our words, but with our walk. Help us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.